Locked On Nuggets. I'm your host, Matt Moore. You can find me on Twitter at HP Basketball. You can follow the show at Locked On Nuggets. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Helps us out a ton. Adam Mara's is out this week, but we'll be back with us next week. So for today's episode, I have there's a two-part episode. I talked to Chris Dempsey from Altitude, and the first part of our discussion, which is in this episode, is about the Nuggets and the bubble and Jokic and what's going on there. And this was recorded before Friday's media availability with Michael Malone and Paul Millsap. There's been no change on that. There's been no change in the Nuggets or the Jokic situation. He's still expected, quote, in the next few days, which is super annoying because all of us are like, does that mean 5 days or 2 days or 3 days? There's an expectation he's going to be with the Nuggets by the end of the weekend. If that's confirmed, I'll do another episode and we'll talk about what we know at that point with Joker. So the first part of our episode is just Dempsey and I talking about his career a little bit and the Nuggets and where they're at and what he expects from them inside the bubble. Part two, which will go up, I believe probably on Sunday going into Monday, is with Chris talking about his experience as being a black journalist in Denver, and given the state of Black Lives Matter and how important that is with the NBA, but also just for the country. I wanted to get Chris's thoughts on that. I asked Chris if he'd be willing to talk about it, and he was. And so we had a really insightful and open and honest conversation about it that I really enjoyed. And I'm really thankful for Chris for being willing to talk about these kind of things with me. I've known Chris Dempsey since I moved to Denver in 2012, so going on 8 years now. He was on and off the Nuggets beat for the Post, and then he transitioned to Altitude, where you can find him if you have DirecTV, whenever it comes back on Comcast. Chris is excellent. He's always been a true journalist, and he's also a stand-up guy. There's nobody that doesn't appreciate and respect Chris Dempsey, and there's nobody that doesn't appreciate and respect rockauto.com, which is our sponsor for this today's episode. Make sure to go to rockauto.com for all your auto parts needs. All right, here's my interview, part one with Chris Dempsey. All right, Chris. So the Nuggets are in the bubble. I've been in touch with a few people that are down there, as I'm sure you have. Nikola Jokic is the question on everybody's mind. The latest I have is that in the, quote, next couple of days, which I do, my attempts to be like, what does that mean, have been fruitless. He's expected to travel from Serbia straight to Orlando, enter the NBA's quarantine protocol. He has to clear two negative tests before he leaves Serbia. He has to clear two negative tests upon arrival in Orlando, and then he can resume activities with the team. The Nuggets were scheduled to practice tonight. That's been delayed tomorrow. I don't have an explanation for why. In your opinion, how has this been in terms of like this initial couple of days as a start for how things have gone for the Nuggets?
Well, I think they wished everybody was there, but you know, listen, they got the majority of their traveling party down there, and through the initial couple of days of quarantine, so players were able to start emerging from their rooms in a real way today. And as you mentioned, they will practice tomorrow. I think, all in all, they got the team down there. They're through the quarantine, and I think they're okay with how things are going right now. Obviously, you got to get Nikola Jokic down there. You got to get him through a couple of testings, and then you got to get him on the court. But it seems, at least initially, like no one is really too concerned about all of that happening. So, the new general manager, Calvin Booth, spoke with the media recently and basically just said, hey, everything's going to be fine. And so we will all see, you know, here in the next few days, if it will, in fact, be fine or not. But, I think they're okay with how it's going so far. And, you know, now the next hurdle is making sure everybody's on the court, everybody's practicing, and then keeping everybody healthy and getting team chemistry back together again.
Yeah, so I've been asked the question of, okay, well, nobody knows exactly where Joker is, and nobody knows exactly where this is, and nobody knows when he's going to join the team. Why is there no level of concern over this? And my response has been, because all of the people that are in charge of this have not been concerned about it.
Right.
They're like, yeah, he's going to get here sometime. We don't really know. He'll fit. Shocking, but I'm also just like, I think that that especially in this beginning part, everybody individually has so much to manage for themselves in terms of when am I testing? When am I eating? What am I doing in this time in which they got out this morning around, I think 11 is when their quarantine ended. And so they were actually able to go get some fresh air before practice tonight, unless that has changed and I'm not aware of it. And so like, I just think that everybody is like very much like, well, you know, we'll worry about Nikola Jokic, the franchise player and most essential part of our entire reason for being here when we get closer to actually having to do anything.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing about this, Matt, is I think everybody went down there knowing that there were going to be hurdles to get over. And so if any team went down there feeling like it was going to be perfect, it was going to run perfect, then that was just not reality. And I don't think anybody approached it that way. And so if you have players that aren't with your traveling party at the beginning, I think teams were already ready for that and had prepared themselves mentally and however else they need to prepare themselves for that eventuality. And so, you know, unless you have guys who are testing positive and then testing positive again and then testing positive again, then you're going to get this initial, confidence out of these teams, because, you know, they felt like, listen, there were going to be some of these cases that were going to happen. And so then how do you get through it? And so, you know, what the information that we've gotten on Nikola Jokic so far is that he tested positive initially, then he didn't, and now it's just about getting him back to the United States and then getting him with the basketball team. And so, you know, unless he continues to test positive over and over and over again, I think that's where you get some of the confidence from the Nuggets executives and whoever else is talking about Nikola Jokic, because there really is no real concern right now. The biggest concern is getting him to Florida and getting him through the initial protocols to have him join the team. And I think everybody feels like that's just a matter of time until that happens.
Yeah, I think the continued testing is part of why the NBA protocol, which I mentioned on the show many times, 108 pages, answers a lot of the questions that I think that Twitter folks and common fans have in their confusion about, like, well, what if this happens or what if this happens? And I'm like, you'd be surprised how many of the what ifs have an answer. Like, you mm-hmm. know, being discussed today, like Tom Haverstraw had an article about it. There is a 3 to 5 day period in which you can be carrying the virus and it not have, like, if you contract the virus, you get tested, it won't show up then, but it would show up 5 days later. And so the question then is, well, what if a team gets it right before they leave? And they land test negative on both of the tests that they take within 24 hours of the quarantine. And then it spreads. And I'm like, yeah, that's bad. But you also have to remember, none of these players are seeing anybody else from any of the other teams for the next 7 days. Like, until we get to the 22nd and, or like 2 weeks, until we get to the 22nd, when they start the scrimmage games, these guys will not actually, at least theoretically, be seeing one another, interacting with one another, spending significant time indoors and in enclosed space with one another. So there are kind of all these answers to how this is going to go.
They'll also have been tested multiple times by then. So, you know, the example that you just gave, if you had players that were within that example, at some point in the first 5 days, they'd test positive. And so then they would go into whatever quarantine has to happen after that. And so I think where the NBA was really smart was in, you know, in the initial stages of getting everybody ready to go down. And then after everybody arrives, just waiting for a little while and making sure there's a long enough period of time that if there are positives while you're down there, well, there's 20 days between training camp and the first actual games that are going to go on, you can get people healthy theoretically. And so I think the lead time that they gave prior to even traveling, when they started the testing and they said, okay, you know, these are the people who have coronavirus, you know, now let's get them quarantined, let's get them healthy, let's get them back with the team. I think the time they gave was the smartest thing that they've done. And then the constant testing, because now you can identify people who may have been maybe asymptomatic and just not showing any signs, but obviously, but maybe carrying the virus, you can get them identified in this big, huge window of time that you have before the games even start.
So there's all this preparation that goes into planning the bubble and trying to make sure that this is, that everybody's making the right decisions and that everybody's got the right, you know, mindset and they've got the right preparation. And you've got to do the same thing with preparing and repairing your automobile. And that's why you need to check out rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models out there in the world, it's impossible for you to find all of the parts that you need at any one store. There's too many parts and too many differentials. So why wait while the guy at the counter tries to figure out whether or not they have that part for your vehicle, or whether it's the whether and you trying to figure out whether or not you have the SE or the SL or the XSE or the reverse of that, which I'm not going to get into. You don't want any of that. And that's why you need to check out rockauto.com. It allows you to shop at your pace, at your convenience, and get the part that you need right there and get it for the right price. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you guys can use for, you know, I guess, getting better food for your long quarantine in a bubble served by professional chefs, or in the case of Paul Millsap, stocking up on sardines and crackers. The point is, you don't want to spend that much on car repair parts. Why would you choose to spend 30% or 50% or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or like Advance, where you can get the better prices at your fingertips at rockauto.com? No subscription, no membership. It's for everybody. It's also a family business. It's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers right now. Make sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We'll shift a little bit more to where Chris thinks the Nuggets' heads are at as they go into the bubble. Campus, rather. We'll be right back. Been around the team as much as anyone, more than anyone, over the last, since I got here in 2012. You've spent the most time around the team. You know it, I think, the best of anybody. Where do you think, I think end of one thing that gets lost in these discussions about like where are the players' heads at is that it's going to be very different, I think, player by player. I think we've seen cases of that already, that like anybody, like they're like any group of people, they're not a monolith. They don't all think the same. They don't all have the same concerns. Have you gotten a sense that there's like excitement for like, man, we get to play basketball again. Like we're competing for a championship. I think there's a lot of on other teams. I think there's a general sense of apprehension about the entire thing. Like, I think especially if they're a team that you don't have huge stakes, if you're like, I mean, yeah, we can make some noise, but I think if you're in one of those spots, I think that enthusiasm and engagement is going to be something that's going to be a struggle. Not these guys are professionals and they'll do the job. But where do you think the Nuggets as a whole, if we can get a sense for a majority sense, where do you think their head's at going into this thing?
Yeah, I think they're very excited to get back to basketball, and they're excited to show that they are, in fact, you know, one of the better teams in the NBA the way the record says they are. Because I think what has happened with them is they have heard a lot of You know, people basically say, yeah, this is a good basketball team, but no, I don't think they really have a chance to win. And yeah, this is a good basketball team, but I think I'd favor somebody else over them in the first round. And they are absorbing that kind of stuff. And they want to get on the court and prove that they are, in fact, one of the elite teams in the league. And so they are very excited to be down there. And they're very excited to get started. And they're very excited to put their best foot forward. You know, I think it'll be very interesting, you know, right now. I mean, even when you look at some stuff pass by on social media, and like the Dallas Mavericks are blaring music and they're very excited to be down there as well. And, you know, we're in this honeymoon stage where I think the players, except for the group that you, you know, that you mentioned, but by and large, they're happy to be getting back to an area of their life that is a little more familiar. And I'm just talking about the act of practicing and playing basketball. And, you know, so the excitement is there. I think there's obviously, you know, a cautiousness happening as well, because we are in the middle of a pandemic still. And, you know, what does that mean? Does a bubble even work? We don't know any of the answers to these questions. We're all going to find out together as we go through this, which is probably a cause for a little concern as well. But I think for the Nuggets, they just want to play basketball and prove that they are actually pretty good. And so that's the mindset that they're going down there with. I'll be interested to see, you know, league wide, you know, 3 weeks into this, when you're still in the same hotel room and it's still by and large the same meals. And it's, you know, you, even though these places are very luxurious and the NBA is bending over backwards to give them as many options of stuff to do as they possibly can to keep them busy, to keep them engaged, to keep them, from, you know, looking outside the bubble for sources of entertainment. You know, let's just see what this looks like 3 weeks from now. Let's see what it looks like 7 weeks from now. You know, has the grind of every day basically being Groundhog Day taking its toll on some players the way it's not right now? And so I think that I'm most interested to see from a mental standpoint, how tough can you be and how long can you be that tough when the circumstances around you pretty much never change. And when you are used to circumstances around you changing whenever you want them to change, because you are a rich athlete and you can do whatever you want. And so we'll see. But the Nuggets, very excited to be down there. And, you know, I think they're enthusiastic about their chances. And they want to I think they go down there with a little bit of a chip to prove that they are among the elite teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that all tracks. I think that does. One thing I've heard from executives, I was kind of surprised when, like, these, you know, you make these calls and you talk to these folks and certain trends develop. And I mentioned this on the show before, that there's been a sense from executives, I've heard this sense that they said, well, some of my guys aren't great practice players.
Yeah.
That is, they're like, if we're in an arena and there's no fans and it's not a game, it doesn't feel like a game. It feels like a scrimmage. Guys have said that. They're like, it's going to feel a little bit like a pickup game or like a scrimmage. I'm worried about their level of engagement and, you know, an attitude. And I think there are other players that are just going to go no matter what. Like, if anytime that they're on the court, they're just going to go. Like, I have zero doubt that Russell Westbrook is going to go 100 miles an hour.
Right. Yeah.
Russ isn't built for anything else. Like, this is, he just doesn't have an off button the minute that he's on the court. It doesn't matter if it's practice or a pickup game or a summer league event or wherever. Like, you give him a basketball and put him on the court, and he's going to go. Are there guys that you, I won't ask you about the guys that might have issues, but is there anybody on the Nuggets, like one player in particular, that you're like, I know this guy is going to be consistent no matter what the environment?
I think there's a few. I mean, I think Gary Harris, I think Nikola Jokic, I think Jamal Murray all fit the bill. I think Paul Millsap fits the bill. I think these guys just want a ball. Will Barton just wants the ball. So if you, listen, he's a guy that's playing in the Drew League and the, you know, playing in any league he can in the off season and in normal off seasons, just because he likes the ball. And so, you know, I think the Nuggets have a number of just guys like that. You know, you drop the ball anywhere, they're competitive guys. You know, they want to win the game. And so I don't think that if you're Michael Malone or if you're Tim Conley or Calvin Booth, I don't know that that's a real worry that you have by and large, because you have a bunch of guys who just love to play. And I think at the end of the day, if you have that, then the gym doesn't matter. The environment around doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, okay, well, we're throwing the ball up and tipping it up right now. All right, let's play. And now that we're playing, we might as well just win this game because we want to win, because we're competitive individuals. And so I think the Nuggets have a bunch of those kind of guys on their team, which is good. And, you know, listen, to your point, also they're playing for something. They're really playing for something. And, you know, they've not been shy about saying, hey, listen, we're going down there to win a title, to not to just play and maybe get deep into the playoffs, but okay. And so if that's your goal, then that's a huge something to play for. And so when you combine those two factors, I'd be shocked if there was any individual on that team that wasn't locked in and ready to go, regardless of the environment, because of their mental makeup right now and because the stakes are so high.
A little bit, because I did want to talk to you about your career, because you've covered so much in the state of Colorado. You've just covered so many different beats at your time at the Post and all over. What to you has been maybe the most like interesting time to cover in your time in journalism?
Just sports in general? Boy, the most interesting time. You know, honestly, it depends on the year. It depends on the subject. Sports have a way of being repetitive. Like, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have media days prior to a season. You're going to have a preseason. You're going to have a regular season. You're going to have a playoffs. And so then just what happens in between that time, the news that develops, is what differentiates one year from the next. So I would say that I don't, when I look back over my career, there's not a period of time where I wouldn't say like the 90s were much better to cover than the early 2000s or I don't look at it that way. I look at it as stuff that happened that was interesting. And for me, maybe, you know, very early on in this podcast, you talked about, it was prior to the podcast, we were talking about this being just a situation that if you're down there covering an NBA team right now in a bubble in a year, in the middle of the summer, you know, they're trying to finish a season in a postseason with no fans, this will probably rank as the most interesting thing that you will ever cover in your life. And that is a fact. So for me though, because I am not down there covering that, the thing that ranks up there with me was the time that University of Colorado went through their scandal period. And it was a bonkers time, man. It was there was so much going on from every angle. Everything was a story. Everything blew up and became huge. And for the better part of 2.5 years, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. And a lot of people either resigned or lost their jobs. You know, I was a very young journalist at the time. And, you know, what that taught me was just how to grind every single day out, how to cultivate sources, how to pivot on a dime when the news pivoted on a dime. And you had to go and cover something that you thought you didn't have to cover. It taught me how to cover a courtroom. Quite honestly, it was the first time that I had ever had to step in a courtroom, and make sense out of everything that was going on in there in a way that I could write it for my readers to understand what on earth was going on. And you know, so for me, that was by far the most interesting time. It just because of the news value to it. It was, there was almost no on-field component to it except for, you know, would coaches survive or would athletic directors survive? Outside of that, this was off the field and in courtrooms and everywhere else. And so, those were off the field the most interesting time. On the field or on the court, I would say just being around for the Nuggets during the George Karl era in a journalistic way.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I grew up here and watched them for many years. But those were very interesting times because George Karl, and me and you have talked a little bit about this just in hallways. But, George Karl, just listening to him talk and then having a few side conversations with him, I didn't have a ton, but a few, taught me so much about basketball and so much about how I should view things that are happening on the court, what I should view as important versus maybe some of the stuff that most people think is important, but at the end of the day, it's just noise. Those days, those years taught me pretty much everything I feel like I needed to know about how the NBA works, how professional teams work, what coaches think, all of that kind of stuff. And it's valuable information, so valuable, because later on, now, coaches later, things make sense in a way faster, in a way that obviously back then they didn't. And so between those two things, I think those, for me in my profession, I would hold up as the two most interesting times for me to be covering sports.
All right, that'll wrap it up for this episode of Locked On Nuggets. Like I said, Chris's episode will run Sunday going into Monday, where we talk about Black Lives Matter and this moment of social justice as far as like his reflection on it as a news person and journalist in Denver, as well as the evolution that we've seen over our time together covering the Nuggets. It's a really great conversation. Please check it out. It's definitely worth your time. Like I said, I'll be back if there's an update on Jokic over the weekend. I hope you guys have a good one. Enjoy your weekend, however you choose to enjoy it, safely, while socially distancing, so that we can have sports in the fall, please. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Nuggets. Make sure to follow us, all of the great content on Locked On Network at Locked On NBA Net. Also check out Rejecting the Screen, another great podcast with Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko on the Locked On Network. Great show, Rejecting the Screen. Until next time, I'm Matt Moore. Thanks for joining me on Locked On Nuggets.